Leader for Good. Let's talk mission, meaning, and making a difference.
Hey, I'm once again joined by Elijah, whom I dragged away from a crocodile versus lion documentary. So he'll have to wait for the result of who made it and who didn't until we're done recording this. And I wanted to talk about a book that I've been writing, and that is now available to pre-order. And that book is called The Work You Love Revolution. And the reason I wrote it is because it just seems like there are so many people who have something they really want to give to the world. They really want to make a difference, and they want to love their work. They want to feel that what they're doing actually makes a difference, and a positive difference, not just a negative one. And there's not really a good model for doing that, other than, hey, quit your job and travel the world, which is something that I wouldn't necessarily recommend as a good strategy. So I've been helping people with making those transitions for a while now, and the challenge with that is that it's obviously limited in scope. I mean, I can only work with so many people at a time, and not everybody can afford that, right? So what can I do to kind of like reach more people? And that's basically why I started writing this book. Do you have anything that stood out to you from reading that?
One thing that stood out to me is just how widespread and pervasive this issue is, and how I think there's intuitions of this being true, such as, for example, you have like the follow your passion. And there's some things in popular culture where they're kind of pointing in this direction, but it doesn't give a lot of space of like, well, what if this isn't your passion? Or what if, you know, you don't really like this? So there's almost becomes this expectation that whatever your job is gonna, you know, really light you up. So I really liked how you described for a lot of people how they can turn the situation around and to start giving more what's their, you know, unique contribution.
Yeah, because I think, you know, if I think about people having all these treasures inside, right? And they're right currently locked in a safe or in a vault or something. And them not unlocking it, it just sounds like such a tragedy. So in a way, it almost goes further than, you know, just loving your work. It's also, you know, what's your, like, yours to give? Like, what are you here for? And I know those are really big questions. I'd really like to start a conversation around that, because I think it's so important. I mean, people spend at least 80,000 hours of their lives at work. And if we imagine if most people put that to really productive uses, what that could do, you know, like even if they decide, hey, I only want to work part-time, right? You know, putting 40,000 hours in productive endeavors, like how would that change the world? Yeah.
So I think that there's a challenge that you described really well, where people often feel like they have to choose between money and meaning, or they could have something really meaningful, and then they're just kind of like, you know, scraping by, or they could have something that really pays well, but it kind of, it's really not that pleasant. So there was a lot of really interesting descriptions and exercises and like steps that you can take to explore this. Like for example, one of the things I remember was, you know, don't just make a big change necessarily right away. You know, because if you have a job that maybe is not working for you as much as you want, it could be that, yeah, hey, just try this thing you think you'd like to do for your, you know, main job as a passion or a hobby for a while, and just see, is it really true that you actually like it as much as you think you would? Or do you just have this romanticized and idealistic view of it, but if you actually spent all your time doing it, you really wouldn't like it. So it's really, I really liked how there was practical suggestions in addition to the bigger, you know, some of these bigger picture things.
Yeah, I mean, because I think we actually really need both. I didn't just want to have an inspirational book and then you kind of like, okay, this is a great idea. Never heard that before that you should, you know, like do what you're passionate about. Now, how do I put that into practice? So I did want to provide both sort of like the bigger picture and then also practical applications, step by step and so on and so forth, so that it's as useful to you as possible.
And also stuff that may come up that may be happening with you along the process. I think there's often this, you know, Disney romantic, you know, view of these things where if you do it, it's just going to go great all the time.
Yeah.
Which is obviously crap. So I really liked how you talked about, hey, if you take this step, it may be scary. It may be hard, or probably will be scary and hard and all these other things. And that's not a sign that you're on the wrong path. It's just a sign that you're really taking steps towards something that's really meaningful. And here's some suggestions for how to support yourself and handle some of the discomfort that may come up along the way, even when you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. So I think the main thing that often stops people is sort of like this all or nothing dilemma. It's basically either I kind of like, you know, I change everything all at once. So I'm having work that I absolutely love by tomorrow. And it also kind of like brings in a huge income, or I'll just stay with things exactly how they are. And it's one of the most, and that we can see that pattern in so many different areas, you know, whether that's with weight loss or with getting fit or any other improvements that people want to make in their lives. And and I think the way to actually create sustainable change is to really take small steps and take these steps consistently, because small steps are not overwhelming. Big leaps are, which I know because I've done it and I wouldn't recommend it. So that's also part of the reason why I've written that book, because I want to make things easier for people than I think it has been for me. If you would like to start taking small steps, I think one good small step is to just pre-order the book. And yes, that's a sales pitch, but honestly, given how much work I've put into that, the payment that I get out of it is really more like meaning and being able to help somebody.
So, I'm totally biased, but by her book too.
I'll link to the page below where you can do that now. So I have a really cool bonus for the first 100 people who pre-order. Because if you've ever been reading a book and you're like, huh, I wonder what they meant with that, and oh, that wasn't so clear to me, or hey, I would like to discuss that more, or how did they come up with that? So if you've ever read a book and wanted to ask the author questions, well, with my book, you can do that if you're, you know, like amongst the first 100 people who order it and then fill out a form, because you'll get a free Q&A call with me once the book gets released. So yeah, that's it for now. Go check it out. It's less than the cost of a Starbucks coffee. So should be a good investment, hopefully. And I look forward to hopefully hearing from you on the Q&A call.
As always, you can get the show notes for this episode at leaderforgood.com/podcast.